This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We know the way Denmark have gone in their previous matches. They've had very clear strategies when they've been behind. They've gone with 4-2-4 basically and thrown everybody forward. And we needed to keep pressure on at the front, but to have the numbers there to deal with the balls in the box. And in the end, Raheem was causing so many problems and was so difficult to play all night that it was going to have to be Phil or Jack to come off. And we made that decision. Not an easy one, but Jack has totally understood it. And in the end, he said to me, "Well, Gaffer, it doesn't matter. Not really bothered, really. We've got to the final." But I must say, I thought he had absolutely the impact we were looking for at the moment when he came into the game. I mean, Bukayo had actually settled into the game. He started a bit nervously, but he was playing well. But we just felt that Jack could give us even more at that moment. And Raheem running at Vestergaard on the other side was a change we fancied seeing as well. So all of those attacking players with Harry as well gave a fantastic contribution tonight.
Going around the mall and Sterling down in the box. It is a penalty for England. Sterling has done that all night. And in the end, he was just too tricky. Schmeichel saves! Kane is there to follow in! Wembley is alive and thundering with noise!
Da-na-na. Even in tune with each other. Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael. A few drinks down after England's semi-final victory against Denmark. Joining me for a swift match reaction, Mr. Chris Budd.
Hello, and come on!
Mr. Neutral, Phil Shaw. Welcome.
Hello. Nice you to invite me to the party.
Oh, yes. Grab a beer, pull up a seat, pull up your Grealish angst, and away we go. I mean, Southgate's a charitable man. He gave Jack a little taste of a European Championship semi-final. Just a little taste.
And at the end of the day, we said he was the nuclear option. The whole point of nuclear is you get in, you get out quickly. You get the job done. And he did. He came on, did his thing.
Bang. Didn't need to do anything else. Do we need you to do anything else? No. Right. You rest yourself for the final. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Job done. Right. Team selection. Let's start from the top. Team selection. Kind of expecting...
No surprises, were there really?
No real surprises. I think they thought they could go for the old flat... Flat back four is when they think they can beat the team in a... trading face-to-face. When he goes for the three centre-backs, that's when he's respecting the opposition, I think, roughly translated. I'm just going to jump to the end before we get back to the start, but overall, I think against the Ukraine, they've pretty much stayed in second gear, switched into third gear just to get rid of them. And I thought they might have to use another gear to beat Denmark, but I thought it wasn't as convincing as I expected. No disrespect to Denmark. I thought it was going to be a battle, but I thought we would see a better England. But I don't think they were as slick overall as I expected. But anyway, let's start from the beginning. England were looking good, I thought, initially. I thought the only
started well, didn't they?
Yeah, really well. And that's what I meant. I thought they would just continue as they started and pretty much impose their will on this game. And while the Danes, I expected a battle from them, I just thought we would just have too much. I mean, Phillips, I think, was chasing shadows a little bit. He was losing 50-50s kind of in let's say, the first half hour. That's why Denmark managed to get some kind of foothold in the game. And then, you know, just jump forward and to their goal. And I think that was the goal the game needed in terms of, if you're a neutral, to make it a real contest.
And what a goal.
Yeah.
I think Phil was joking at the time that Pickford had Tyrannosaurus Rex arms for that goal.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long way out. And I mean, I'm not one in favour of these draft excluders, players lying behind the wall, but that you can see why when it's on the edge of the box, not when it's 30 yards out. I mean, if you're going to hit one, a daisy cutter from 30 yards and the wall's going to jump, I mean, come on. All I'll say is the set pieces were strange all night. It's like it wasn't so much zonal marking or zonal anything. Everybody just stayed in one big clump and it was a fight for it every time a set piece went
in. It was a pylon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like under tens.
Yeah. We'll get to why perhaps Southgate made his switch at the end. I think it kind of relates to that kind of pile up on set pieces, because I think Southgate was, when we went 2-1 up, had one mind on that in terms of guarding against it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, 1-0, it didn't last that long. There was, you know, there was a little period where you thought they might get a second. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they had we started well, didn't we, the first 10-15. Then they had about a 10-minute spell and they looked pretty good. But actually, once they scored, we kind of woke up and we actually finished it was one of those first halves where you almost don't want the whistle to go. You kind of thought, if this goes on another 5 minutes, we could keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And they had another little 10-minute spell. But I never really thought Denmark properly got up ahead of steam. They just had little moments where you thought, yeah, these are a good team. Like, there's no standout stars, but just sort of, they're very well drilled. And then they had little moments of really good quality.
Yeah, as we mentioned in the last podcast, I think they've had this kind of club mentality, this unity that's served them very well. But when you go back, I mean, the Czechs, I mean, I saw them against Holland, even though they beat Holland, they weren't, you know, they're not a great team. And, you know, the Danes dispatched Wales just because I think they were ruthless. And that's what I was expecting a bit more of. I knew if how the Danes played first half against Belgium and against Wales, then we might have a problem. But I just thought we had enough, if we clicked, to dispose of them without too much problem, if we were playing really well. But I thought we made kind of hard work about it. I'm not being entitled here, but I just rate England as a good team in this tournament.
I think it was, I mean, you saw obviously the man of the match was their goalkeeper, which probably speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the Sterling chance before we actually get the equaliser, he probably put it in the only place where he could save it. And then we had a couple of other big chances, didn't we? You know, there was the great save from the Maguire header in the second half. Even right at the end, you know, where Sterling burst through. I think we had a, you know, a couple of occasions. And even like snapshots in around the penalty area. We had more than enough chances to actually put the game to bed, probably in normal time. But then you thought through extra time, because they'd already made their five changes and we'd only brought Jack on. You just thought, I mean, I think, you know, we all agreed in the last show after the Ukraine game, and the Germany game, to be fair, and through the tournament, that England's firepower will pay at some point. And it did in this game, because I thought Grealish came on, and although it was a cameo, he did really well. Henderson came on, and I thought he actually calmed the game down, you know, especially that 5 minute period where we were playing keep ball. Everything he had just went to feet. He kept it so simple, and you needed that experienced head. I thought Foden, you saw much more of what he's about. Little ticky-tacker bits when we were keeping the ball again. All the subs, even Trippier did well.
Speaking of Foden, I did joke in our WhatsApp group. I said, Foden's coming on for Grealish. Just joking that he would sub Grealish. And what happened?
Yeah.
Another prophetic mum's moment.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit, I've just predicted something I didn't want to happen. Shit.
Only the best get sub, that's fine.
Yeah, but this is probably one of the only podcasts that can speak on this subject of being sub, because two of us have been sub. In my case, it was after 10 minutes, never mind 36 or whatever it was for Grealish.
Were you hungover or something?
No, the manager actually forgot that he'd brought me on as a sub. He thought I'd started. And I was like, yeah, cheers for that, prick.
That's a very Sunday league way to get yeah. subbed off, isn't it?
It was like under 13s as well. So, and I remember getting into a fight with somebody like literally 5 minutes after I'd come off because I was pissed off.
It's character building, isn't it? It's like you get over it.
Yeah. I mean, I got into a fight. I didn't see Grealish getting into any fights. So I was more pissed off, I think. But after that season, I thought, fuck these pricks. Sorry. So if Grealish follows my track, he will be trying to become Irish again, I think, for next season. What happened to you, Shaw? Because it happened to you as well.
Oh, somebody got injured after 5 minutes and they brought me on. And anybody that knows me knows I'm not really a 90-minute man. So I was never lasting. I was never lasting 85.
No, you really are a super sub then.
Yeah.
You're an impact player.
That's it. Ball the feet or else it's not happening.
But anyway, we'll talk about the sub in a second. Another end goal for this tournament, which is this anything we should look into? Is it number 12? Something ridiculous?
Nah, not our one. I mean, I think if he just puts his leg out, if he doesn't, Sterling scores. It's a great move, though, yeah. Isn't it? The pass from Harry Kane that sets it up is world class. It's a brilliant ball.
I mean, people still giving Sterling shit, but for me, there's not many people in this tournament who can get into that 6 yard box. And you know, even second period of extra time, he was fancying himself. He was just going at them, he was dribbling at them. And
that's when you want to see him, that's what you want from him, that's when he's at his best, isn't it? Just head down, go.
Because I was, you know, as I said, England weren't as convincing as I perhaps expected if England were firing on all cylinders. So I was starting to think, oh, Italy's going to be a bit trickier. Because you know, this morning I was fancying us chances against the Italians, but then when I saw Sterling in the second period of extra time, I thought, well, he is a weapon against Italy, because you've got two 35-year-olds at least at centre-back, and they're going to struggle to keep him. You know, I mean, they're going to have to pull all kinds of shithousery out to try to stop him, and I don't think it's going to get them very far.
I think Sterling has maybe suffered at Man City without a number 9. We were talking about Harry Kane not having a friend, you know. Sterling, when he plays at City the last season without Aguero, with a false 9, he's not as effective. He's back in the England team as soon as, you know, as almost like he's back home playing with a central striker, and he's in behind him, he's beyond him, he's everywhere. I mean, you can't fault him.
No, I thought he had a very good game today. You know, 3 on target, 6 in total. I mean, he was the main man peppering Schmeichel. They would just mention Schmeichel. So, I mean, the commentator still makes me laugh. Unbelievable save by Schmeichel. Like when it hits it straight at him and it hits him in the stomach.
Yeah.
He just happened to be there. It's not, it's literally not a save because he would be nowhere else. It's not as if his positioning is great or whatever. If it was either side of him, it's a goal.
Or even below him, he could have just kept it on the floor and it would go under his foot and in.
One of those draft excluders might have been lying down there. They might have stopped it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought Mason Mount was bright, and I quite like his enthusiasm. He's at, you know, he's kind of everywhere,
and I like Rice. Rice is fast becoming one of my sort of favourite players outside of Villaverse.
He's so upright, isn't he? He's like he's
erect,
kind of quite,
if you prefer,
quite lanky and erect. But again, you know, over 95% pass completion, which I remember.
It's what you want in that position.
Reading that out in the last game as well. So that's his kind of, he's very tidy, but also gets stuck in. Second half, he was pressing a bit higher up the pitch and keeping them basically contained in their own half. I mean, Phillips, so I was surprised he stayed on actually instead of Rice.
Yeah, I think he gives you legs though, doesn't he, Phillips? I think he would have. Just to try and get as many minutes out of him, you know, to keep the energy up, because Henderson gives you a different kind of player, but he's not going to dash around and smash into tackles. He's more of a keep it steady, which was exactly what they needed when they brought him on. I didn't know if Foden might just drift much more centrally and just say to him, get on the ball and run the game, which he kind of did a little bit, but we've only seen, you know, fleeting glimpses really of what he can do.
But in terms of Grealish, he has established himself as the first man.
Oh, yeah,
come
on. It was the obvious move. Yep. And you could hear straight away, didn't he? The game had gone flat again, and he lifted the crowd and he lifted the team. And for that alone, it's like that is worth the change, just to give
bit
of belief to everyone. And he changes the situation, because you saw as soon as he got the ball, the Denmark players all of a sudden were just backing off.
Yeah.
And he had three or four occasions where he faced up the fullbacks and they doubled up on him.
I mean, he made a few misplaced passes, I think, in the first 10 minutes or so when he was on.
And then once he got on the ball, then you started to see him really get into it.
But he was integral in terms of, well, as you know, England did suddenly have a foothold on the game, and we had conversations during the game. And well, I don't know if I was talking to you or my other friends, but I was saying, I think, you know, England will win, you know, they have to win this in extra time, but I think they will win it in extra time. I said to some people, because it would looked confident. And in terms of Southgate was starting to play his cards, first Grealish came on, then Foden came on, and it was just like, well, this, they look up for it, because, you know, like Grealish, Foden, they're like coiled springs because of this situation where they're not starting because they're so up for it. Everybody wants to get involved. And I don't, you know, I know that, like, I think the English or the FA, the English team have done really well on their social media in terms of putting across this kind of vibe of the squad.
Well, it's like England United, isn't it?
I think they're all reasonably on, you know, they're all youngish on the same kind of age bandwidth. And I think they all, you know, have a good laugh there. And I think that's, I think there's probably a better spirit. There's no kind of egos really, like previous World Cups and European Championships.
Well, you haven't, I think with this team, you've got lots of quality players, but unlike maybe a generation back, you don't have a starting lineup full of sort of captains, you know, Lampard, yeah. Gerrard, Neville, Ferdinand, Terry, etc., which I know you need leaders and leaders are important, but sometimes because of that, everybody wants to be the main man.
Yeah.
I think everybody trusts the collective here. I think when guys come in, as you said, they actually slot into the system, whereas in years gone by, we had a pretty good squad, but it was always a bit square pegs, round holes, wasn't it, in that so-called golden generation?
Yeah, and there's a bit of, I think there's a lot more flexibility with these players. I mean, we discussed a couple of podcasts ago how some of the defence were interchangeable, but that also applies to some of the attacking players. I mean, like Sterling, you know, Grealish comes on, Sterling switches to the right.
Yeah.
There's just that, it's a little bit more fluidity.
Yeah. And speaking of the defence, I mean, I know Pickford had probably a difficult night. I think that was, a lot of it was mental with him. He looked very highly strung, but I thought Maguire and Stones, again, excellent. Luke Shaw, solid again. And Kyle Walker.
I thought he was very good. Yep. Yeah.
Superb. His pace, his recovery, the little burst that he gives you, it's match winning, his ability to recover. And he gets you up the pitch quickly.
And also, you know, people talk about experience, and, you know, experience can translate to just being old. But he's somebody that you actually see his experience being applied.
It's wily, isn't it?
Yeah, just some of his positioning and how he outfoxes players, you know, one-on-one, then, you know, positions his body, etc. You know, he has been a standout. And, you know, you need that kind of performance if you're going to try to win a tournament, because he's going to be needed against the Italians. I mean, Jesus, that's another level.
It's all about recovery now, isn't it?
Well, no, it's about combating shithousery, and it's going to be a real. There's going to be. I mean, you know, it was tense tonight just because there's that block of getting into the final, but you fancied us ultimately against Denmark.
Well, you knew that ultimately we were a superior team tonight.
Italy, it's more of a 50-50.
Yeah.
And all these, you know, mind games and, you know, shithousery all comes into play and you know,
ultimately,
tips the balance.
Yeah. And tactically, Mancini's a very switched on coach.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But in terms of the sub-sub, I thought at that stage, I mean, the penalty, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. But what made it worse was the penalty was dubious. I mean, you know, that's the good news is, you know, we play for these penalties as well now. I mean, we used to be victims to it. Now we play for them.
That's the Manchester coaching.
it's a winner's mentality, that is.
But it is, yeah, it's winning at any cost. But just the way they conceded, the injustice of it hurt Denmark, and you could see them wilter a bit. And I thought at that stage, actually, it was a bit more the Dean Smith, your best form of attack is to get the third. I think the third was there.
It was on a few occasions.
And, you know, Grealish holds the ball, so he's good. I mean, remember that semi-final against Leicester where we, you know, yes, we had the lead, and you're glad that Grealish is there because once he's got the ball, he occupies and he keeps the ball away from them, and he's hard to get the ball off. So maybe Southgate didn't consider that. But at the same time,
you get the thinking to go back three, full backs, match them. And
yeah, it's just like he's got the short straw. Foden had been on for 5 minutes.
And he's not going to take a defensive midfielder off.
And another thing, he's not going to take a penalty if the worst comes to the worst.
No. And then Kane is your number nine. Sterling has got straight line speed, which, I mean, Jack's quick, but he's not lightning.
He's quick with the ball, isn't he, rather than straight line speed.
Yeah, so it was just unfortunate for him. I think, you know, Southgate will probably, I haven't seen the post-match stuff, but I'm sure it will come out that he will say, you know, Jack was just unlucky.
Quick Jack Grealish touch count in his little cameo. How many minutes was it? 36, 37. How many touches did he get?
Seven.
Phil, sure.
I did better than that. I'm going to go 16.
He got 26.
Oof. Wow.
So against
Masterclass
against Germany, only a seven, but he had, like, you know, incredible impact. But 26.
He must have been knackered. That's why he had to come off.
Yeah, exactly.
Loading.
The shins always get swollen after 25 touches. So he had one too many. So they had to take him off.
But it's all about winning. And we have. And Jack will admit that. He'll go, okay, fine.
And this isn't about ego. It isn't about silly fans saying, you know, Southgate's to see you next Tuesday because he's still
their
favourite player or there's an agenda. You know, you got to think, it's the way of the samurai. There's no ego. You know, it's one for the team. And ultimately, Southgate decided on the path, right, let's just wrap this up.
Which they did really professionally, as I said earlier. You know, 5 minutes of keep ball at the end of the game. That was so not English-like. Normally, yeah, it'd be right, pump it in the corner, but Foden, Trippier, Walker, it was generally down the right-hand side, but we just kept the ball superbly. Henderson, I think, he just killed the game for us. It was exactly the right change at that moment. I think Southgate actually got his tactics in extra time spot on, even though we could have killed the game. The third would have killed it, but
and we were playing 10 men for the majority of the second period of extra time. So Southgate's just taking, he's playing the percentages, and the end goal is to win. Yep. And personally, I'd have thought, well, fuck it. You know, let's keep ball for the last 2 minutes, not the last, you know, 5-6 minutes. Let's put the sword through them. But since they're down to 10 men.
That's something that England have generally been appalling at, especially in tournaments down the years.
So I can appreciate people getting, you know, and there's arguments for keeping Grealish on. As we said, he's one of the, in terms of a ball sticking to him, he's handy to have in those situations where you want to keep ball and wind the clock down.
And on the break, I mean, he'd have been great fun to watch with sort of 5 minutes to go, wouldn't he?
But it is, I think he's just got the short straw there just because of the length of time he was on the pitch and who was actually on the pitch.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep the more defensive players on. And going back to the what we're talking about on set pieces, it was a bit more like schoolboy football where everybody piles in. I think that's why Southgate decided to go to the three centre-backs just to make sure we wasn't going to get compromised on set pieces. So I think the good thing about Southgate is you have to say he is tactically aware and will nullify, you know, the worst case scenario and the common denominators, even if it's putting, you know, people's noses out of sync. But you see, you know, reactions. Oh, that's it, he subbed off Grealish, I'm not watching England anymore. It's like, oh, for fucking get over yourself.
I hope we get hammered and he gets sacked and all that.
Yeah, I hope we get hammered and for fuck's sake. Once in a fucking lifetime, England get to a final. So there's bigger things.
Just enjoy it.
And your man Grealish is, you know, seventh heaven. He is in a position that England players have not been for over half a century. So don't worry about being sub-subbed.
Imagine how Ben Chilwell feels. He's just won a Champions League final and he hasn't had a kick all tournament.
Rashford, exactly. Rashford, like, Sancho. There's a list of players that haven't really had what you'd call a fair crack at the whip.
But Grealish has knocked up caps in tournament.
And delivered.
Because all he's done is played a few friendlies. So, you know, there is a leap of faith. Because when you're going into tournament football, normally you want tried and trusted players that have got some caps under the belt. So he is in his position at the moment doing very well.
Yep.
You know, if a bit of context, he's played a few fluffy friendly games. Now he's in a proper tournament and is an integral part of that matchday squad because he's getting on and he's influencing games. And, who's the first man Southgate's called upon? It's been Grealish. So above Champions League players, league title winners. So there's no fucking agenda.
And in other international news, congratulations to Douglas Luiz and Emi Martinez, who will be facing off in the Copa America final, won't they?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about this because I did not know Martinez was such a bad boy.
What a shit house.
I thought he was a nice guy. I thought he was a nice, smiley, friendly, really decent chap. He's a fucking piece of work, isn't he? Fucking hell, doing the old crotch thrust when he saved a penalty, winding them up, giving them all kinds of shit.
I don't want to stereotype, but Argentinians have that in them, and now we've got two of them, so I can't wait for next season.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Apparently, shithouse translated to Argentinian is casa de mierda.
Yeah, so casa de mierda. I think I commented, I think it was in Match Club, if England had Martinez in goal and we're heading to penalties, you were like, yeah, no problem. Just bring it on. I'll just go and get another beer from the fridge.
Sure calls it, it's a buy.
and you'd be looking forward to it. But with Pickford, I was thinking, I think we need to deal with this in extra time. And I thought we would.
And did.
But yeah, sorry, back to Martinez. I mean, that's going to be an interesting face-off. I keep looking at Villa now. I'm thinking next season, you're looking at a Grealish, you're looking at a Mings that now have that international gravitas. You're talking about Martinez, who is now one of the best, Argentina, you've always got to consider them as one of the top five or six international teams, if not higher. And if he's their number one now, he's going to have swollen balls. And now he's a big Mr. Shithouse as well. I'm kind of looking forward to the Premier League season, never mind the European Championship final.
Got Southgate's words on Grealish here. Southgate on Grealish goes, he's fine, he understood, he was terrific when he came on and he gave us momentum, but we know when they've gone down, that's Denmark, behind in games, they've thrown four men up front, so we needed to get an extra defender on just to make sure we were more solid. And I wanted to keep Raheem Sterling's speed on, so it meant taking off one of the two boys who had just come on. And like we said before, he wasn't taking off Foden, he'd only been on 5 minutes, you keep the fresher one on.
Yeah. See, he's a masterclass. He knows what he's doing, Southgate. His IQ is above a lot of these squirrel brains that give him shit and just call him a C-U-N-T all the time.
And before the game, to be fair to Southgate, he said, we have learnt from the mistakes of our last semi-final.
Yeah.
Now, that Croatia game, they didn't change in game, did they? It was the same plan. It stopped working. They didn't have a plan B. Tonight, they changed their shape. They reshuffled the pack. They had loads on the bench. And you just think, you're in really good shape going into this final.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to have to be. And this is why I wanted Italy. I mean, yes, you want to win this tournament, but I mean, you could make a case for either Spain or Italy being the harder team to
they're just different overcome. Sides, aren't they?
It was a real clash of styles that provoked an intriguing game in the other semi-final. But I just want Italy for the passion, for the shithousery, and I just want to see their tears if we win.
To the sound of na 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 na
da, na 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 na. But there's a lot of Italians in London as well, so I think it'll be more of an occasion.
It'll be a great atmosphere, won't it? Sunday will be a great day.
Yeah.
Shame it's like an 8 o'clock Sunday game, really, though.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, and I think you will see Grealish, he will play a part in the final, because this is not going to be an easy day.
Southgate's right. He gives you momentum. And you need that in knockout football.
And he'll give the Italians something to think about.
And they'll be admiring his haircut as well.
One of the best team, defensive teams, historically, but also, before that Spain game, conceded two goals in about 2 years or something crazy like that. Mancini, I didn't know he'd drilled this. He'd actually resurrected them like a phoenix from the flames because they failed to get into the World Cup. But now they're on this astonishing unbeaten record.
set up, have to lose sometime, don't they?
Well, yeah, no, exactly. But they're, but you know, people are saying, oh, this isn't, you know, easy for England. But it's typical English, you know, there's always English people that will undermine the achievements of England when they finally actually do something. But Germany would have walked in. They'd be probably in the final now if we hadn't beaten them. They were decent enough. So that was the main scalp in terms of who we should beat on paper. Ukraine, Denmark. I mean, Denmark, I thought, was a potential banana skin just from the spirit they'd shown and how they played collectively as a team.
And they were the last team to beat us at Wembley, weren't they, as well?
Yeah, well, they've done very well in the last... their recent form against us is pretty sensational. So, Italy, I mean, we're not going to talk about it. Let's just let it happen. It's going to be... I think it's the best final we could have probably asked for...
Yep.
I mean, I kind of fancy it above, you know, if you could pick your final, it's probably better than the French, I would say, as a, I mean, England, France would be good, but Italy, there's still a little bit, I mean, we owe them for that penalty, Pirlo's little.
Yes, it was 2012, wasn't it, the Panenka.
Yeah, but Hart deserved that, and Pirlo did say in the interview after, he said he was being really cocky and getting ahead of himself, so I thought I'd bring him down a few rungs.
And, you know, within a couple of years, Joe Hart was at Burnley, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's like respect to Pirlo because he did it just to deflate him and deflate his ego. But now we know the way of the samurai. We can sub players. They don't care. They know the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is winning and hopefully beating Italy this weekend to witness something that most of us that are listening to the show have not experienced in our lifetimes, and that's A, England being in a final, and B, actually winning it.
Yeah, let's go and win it.
Even Phil's up for this.
Oh yeah, it's like an unwritten rule. I mean, it's funny if England go out before a final, but whenever you ever actually get one, you have to win it. So yeah, full steam ahead.
Yeah, it's the Villa way. If you're going to get into a European final, you got to win it. So hopefully Grealish and Mings et al. Will bring it home. And what a Premier League season it's going to be next year with all these international winners in our team.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's going to be international tournament finalists in our team, but we want winners, like more than just one if Martinez or Luis wins it, depending on who wins that ding-dong between Brazil and Argentina. Right, I'm going to finish my beer. Oh, one more last thing. There is, by the time you listen to this, I probably have another fan consultation group meeting with the club. We'll find out more. It's like an operations meeting. So we'll find out all about the logistics of fans returning, the kit situation, because to my calculations, Kappa expires this season, and they've got some announcements about Villa TV, etc., etc. So stay tuned for that. And I will do a Patreon extra podcast on the last couple of fan consultation group meetings to give you a little bit more insight than just the notes. So please do, if you haven't already, support the show and get access to the Patreon extra channel, podcast channel, and also access to Match Club by joining as a Mom's Patron. Go to myoldmansaid.com and check out the Patreon link on the menu and sign up there. Right, until hopefully glory that we've never witnessed in our lifetime. Well, most of us anyway, apart from the old folks out there. It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Na na na. Na na na. Na 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 na. Nobody wants to join in. Na na na. Na na na.
Na na na.
Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Na 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 England.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.